It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goth.
Kia ora, Mayor Phil Goth, how are you?
Morena, I am kei te pai. I'm good, thank you.
Aye, that's good to hear. That's really good to hear. It is, of course, Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori this week, and I'm sure that the council will be supporting that in lots of different ways. Are there activities people can get involved with and things like that around the town? Is that something that's happening?
Yeah, we're certainly supporting Kia Kaha Te Reo Māori and making sure that we are part of the move across the country to encourage people to learn whatever level of te reo they are capable of or have time to learn. It's a respect for pronunciation of place names, I guess. It's how you can say some basic things, how you can greet people if you go into a Māori setting or on a marae, or simply the use of day-to-day words, which is, you know, becoming commonplace in New Zealand. Kia ora, morena, you know, it's the sort of things that when you say it to any other New Zealander, they know what you're talking about.
Little steps to hopefully add up to a bigger picture in the long run, eh?
Yeah, I think over time, and I think you'll see a huge renaissance, particularly among those of Māori heritage, that they will want to speak the language that is associated with their heritage. But it goes much wider than that. And, you know, I was watching somebody on television, a Pākehā woman who was speaking fluent te reo. And I think, you know, that's fantastic. It's something that's unique to our country. It sets us apart. And, you know, I mean, personally, I think it'd be great for all New Zealanders to be able to be bilingual in at least one other language. For many, it might be te reo. For others, you know, if they're of Indian heritage, it might be Hindi or Chinese heritage, Mandarin, and obviously big Pacifica communities where we want to try to keep their languages alive as well. And that is proving a big challenge for some of our communities, you know, like the Niuean community and the Cook Island community, stronger in Tongan and Samoan. But some of the smaller island groups, where the majority of the people from that country are now New Zealanders, if we lose the language and the culture in New Zealand, that puts the existence of the language itself at threat. So, you know, there are wider issues to consider, but starting with te reo is a very good place to start.
Certainly is. Well, let's talk a little bit about level 2.5. We've been given the word from the government now that there's going to be a short extension on level 2.5 for Auckland and on level 2 for the rest of the country. And I know a lot of people will be feeling a little bit disappointed about this, and a lot of other people will be feeling like this is a very sensible course of action. What are your thoughts from where you're sitting? How are you seeing people's responses to this?
Look, I think by and large everybody will understand, not everybody, that's too wide a term. I'm thinking of that crowd of people that gathered in Aotea Square on the weekend. But for most people, they will understand we've still got community transmission, albeit at low levels at the moment. We're, 2 weeks out from coming down to level 2.5, so that's a full cycle of the virus. And we're not doing too badly, in the sense that we seem to have contained it to the one cluster and subcluster, but the threat is still there. So I think most people are saying, well, for us, coming out of level 3 was really good. Your chance to meet with your family and friends again, chance to go to the beach, to leave the Auckland region. That was the big step, and most people back at work. But there are still areas of the city, you know, people in the bars and the restaurants where social distancing means there are fewer people. The change yesterday helps our public transport system, but the requirement still to wear a mask is really important. So, look, it's all about balance, and it's about finding that balance on the basis of scientific thought and evidence, and that's really important. And I'll just say again to the people who are out there denying that it exists, hey, just, you know, there are 28 million people around the world that can attest to the fact that it exists because they have been victims of coronavirus, nearly a million dead. Everybody's seen the pictures of the refrigerated trucks as morgues in New York City, the mass graveyards in Brazil. We're still seeing it back in the United Kingdom. They've just gone back to school after 6 months. There is no doubt, and for people to deny it or just to shrug it off and say it's not important, listen to some of the stories of those that have recovered from coronavirus that tell you how damaging that illness actually is. Mm-hmm. But look, I think most people will be accepting of that. We'd like to get back to level one, but we know to get back to level one, we've got to do it right.
So some of the businesses who will be feeling the pinch at the moment, probably even more so than the last time round, because, you know, things add up. What kind of support is there? Is there support from council? I see that ATEED has perhaps got some support networks in place. What is the kind of stuff people can access, and how can they go about it?
Yeah, well, there's a whole range of things. I'll just reiterate the first point, that the best thing we can do for business is to get back to level one safely and to do it in a sustainable way. And we saw how we recovered last time back at level one. And actually, even the recovery, probably barring the city centre in Auckland, even the recovery in 2.5, according to transport movements and Paymark data, has been quite good. What ATEED is doing, it's got a range of programs, one in particular called the Business Advisory Fund, and I think there's something like up to $10 million, which is originally government funding, that can provide businesses with help and advice as to how they can adapt to the new normal under COVID-19. And I think we saw that this time, you know, when we were under level three the first time around, businesses just closed down completely. And I know that, you know, my wife, who's a keen gardener, was able to do most of her shopping, with a click and collect type system. So businesses that once closed under level three didn't close this time, but maintained those
for people who are, this is all very true, but for people whose, you know, bar is perhaps struggling really badly and things, this might be, you know, very little comfort for them. Are there support networks that they can reach out to? Is there money that they can access? What kind of things can they be looking to that they maybe haven't accessed so far?
Yeah, the critical support was the $13 billion that went into wage subsidies. Now that's coming to an end, and we all knew that it would come to an end, but hopefully it's coming to an end for those businesses as we start to edge back into the point where they can run economically again. We have got a rates rebate scheme in place for council, so we've got $50 million set aside to allow people to defer their rate payments until such time as they're back on their feet. They will have to repay it, but it gives them a breathing space in the meantime. And there are various things that the government has done in terms of taxation that can assist those businesses. But the critical thing they want is their customers back. We want them to have their customers back, but we don't want to have them have their customers back at a point where we could simply contribute to the spread of COVID-19 and have to throw us back into level three. Nobody wants to go there, and everybody understands that New Zealand's done better than most countries, and we've done better than most countries by being science-driven, not politics-driven. Thank God for that in New Zealand. And that, you know, relatively speaking, as Westpac Bank put it the other day, it's a false dichotomy to say health needs are contradictory to economic needs. If you win on the health battle, then you'll also win the economic battle.
Well, let's talk a little bit about health and safety in a different context. The Auckland Council is launching an independent review to find out if there's a pattern of failure in health and safety at the ports. Can you explain why this is happening, Phil?
Yeah, because the latest fatality just 2 weeks ago on the at the port, a father of seven, just an absolute tragedy. You know, when people go to work in the morning, or in his case, he went to work in the evening, working on the night shift. His family, families expect their loved ones to return to them. We've now had two fatalities on the wharves. One 2 years ago, a straddle driver, and there has been a conviction entered against Ports of Auckland for that. The indication on this fatality from the Maritime New Zealand Inspector was that the ports were not ensuring compliance with procedures. There was another case where a swimmer was killed by a harbour pilot boat. And the judge in that case said that there was a systemic failure, and there have been some serious injuries as well. And to me, that adds up to a picture that health and safety procedures, notwithstanding the commitment to them and the statement of corporate intent that we approve, are not delivering what they need to deliver on the waterfront. And I wanted this review, and I wanted it to be independent of the port, so that it would have credibility. Nothing hidden. No vested interest in the inquiry. It will be paid for by the ports, but the terms of reference and the person that will be the reviewer will be appointed by council. Now, we don't actually have the statutory liability for health and safety. That is held by the board, but we are the shareholder, and I think we've got a moral obligation to make sure that in a business that is owned by the people of Auckland, that the health and safety procedures are fit for purpose, and that we deal with any systemic failures that are occurring down there. That's why I thought it was important to set up the review.
So what's the timeline on this? How long is this review going to take, and what's going to happen once the results of it are back?
It needs to be quick, because if there are systemic issues on the waterfront, we want to know about them and we want to act on them as quickly as possible. So we'll probably appoint the reviewer and set the terms of reference this week, if I can get that all tied up. And the requirement on them will be to report before Christmas. I expect that report, it'll be by a person that is well qualified to do the job and independent. I expect that the recommendations of that review would be immediately implemented by the Ports of Auckland Board.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Gough. I hope you enjoy the rest of Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, and we'll talk to you again next week when we might see if we have any changes in the alert level system.
Kia ora, Rachel. Ka kite anō.
Ka kite. See you soon.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.